It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. 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 It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to the Tarncast. This week, I know some of you have been tuning in for What's Wrong With My Cat. Unfortunately, they're still on vacation. Both Myra and Mr. Snuggles are on vacation this week. So, in that time slot, we're going to do Let's Talk Money, being that it is about tax time. And Morten Kellogg, unfortunately, who's normally your host for this, is not available again. He's still preparing his legal defense. But we all send our good thoughts out to him. Hopefully, he'll be back in a couple of weeks. If not, we'll see him in 4 to 6 years. So, I'm Kevin Baird. I'm going to be your substitute host for today. Unfortunately, I know nothing about financing or tax advice. But the good thing is we do have with us our guest. He is a CPA and founder of TaxDodgers.com. He's Bill Higgins. Welcome, Bill, to the program.
My name is Todd Robert Anderson. I think your bookings must have gotten. I was actually supposed to do the cat show. They didn't.
But they. Okay. That's not. Are you a CPA?
No. I'm a professional actor. My mother is a CPA.
Oh.
So maybe.
Well, that might help because you. I mean. You're an actor, so that means you're unemployed?
Mostly, yeah.
Actually, yeah. So do you know anything about money?
Yeah, I do know. I understand the concept of cash flow and managing money. I do my own taxes. If this is a
well,
show
that's good.
About taxes.
Well, being that it's this time of year, we do... You know, field taxed questions from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going as well already as I had hoped. I mean, this isn't my normal show.
Yeah,
so,
this is you. You're sort of up against the wall here because you're a substitute host, and it's not. And people are expecting another show, a cat show. You were saying there's
yeah,
a cat. Normally,
what's
a cat
wrong
show
with my cat?
That,
you know, that people call in and it's about.
And
you know,
that's normally
wrong.
In this time slot,
yeah.
But then they had to move because the cats are sick?
No, Myra and Mr. Snuggles are on vacation, and they have been for a couple of weeks. And so I'm filling in. And
But they're replacing a cat show while they're on vacation with a finance show in the same time slot?
Look, I don't schedule.
Like,
I mean, that's not what
it
I normally
doesn't,
do.
The demographic doesn't – I mean, it seems – incongruous. It seems like you're going to lose a lot of listeners if you're putting a show about taxes in lieu of a show about cats. And then on top of that, then there's normally a CPA, an actual CPA who hosts
the tax show. Yeah, Morten.
And then you're the sub. Why are you subbing if you don't know anything about finance for a financial show?
You know, I mean, I probably got this the same way you did. I mean, I normally do a show midnight to 4. I'm a DJ. I don't.
Oh, yeah, you just do song. You spin.
Yeah,
you spin
I try to speak as little as I possibly can on that.
You
show.
Let the music
speak for itself.
Speak for itself.
Yeah,
that's
so,
good. I respect that in a DJ.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, can we reschedule this, Paul? No. Okay. Well, I guess we can just press on then.
I guess.
So if you have questions, please email them to us at questions@whatswrongwithmycat.org. We can't use the Let's Talk Money because of the impending legal troubles at this point. There's subpoenas and.
Oh, so it's so, still. So technically, this is still a show about cats.
Well, not the subject matter, but
right.
We're using, I mean, their infrastructure we're using. Obviously, we're in their studio.
I think you're going to get a lot of questions about cats.
I'm really hoping we do.
Because that's please, the, it specifically says something about cats in the address.
I think.
I mean, maybe people aren't listening to the show, and then they'll email about cats, and you're going to get confused.
Well, we're going to try and sort those out as we go through this.
Well, I'm sure Paul's on top of it. He seems.
To tell you that
he seems pretty sharp.
If you think so, yeah. Okay. So, let's just start off with you then, because I'm. You say you're an actor.
Yeah.
And. What kind of actor? I mean,
what kind?
Like, yeah, I mean, are there different kinds of actor? I mean, I suppose
some people think that there are actors who work in the theater, and there are screen actors, and then actors who do commercials. In my personal opinion, I think all actors are just actors. You can work in whatever medium you can. Find if you're an actor, you know. I mean, my philosophy is if you're going to pay me, I'll act in whatever medium you're going to pay me to act in.
So you're saying you do porn?
No, because no one will pay me to do pornography. There's certain a certain skill set there that I don't think I possess.
It's because of your red hair?
I think that's part of it, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. The male gingers are not often considered to be sexually exciting. Except for Eric Stoltz. There are always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
People love Eric Stoltz.
Well,
very sexy. Very sexy redheaded man. Very.
Yeah.
Sexy.
And
Cole Hauser.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So then, what do you do?
Television and film and commercials, theater. I've done everything except porn is the only really.
I guess I don't recognize you, so I'm sorry. Maybe I don't watch.
Well, I do. I'm not a famous actor. I'm a character guy, I guess, you know, a bit player, you could say.
Okay.
So, yeah, some people, you know, recognize me and they don't necessarily know.
Right.
Well, yeah, but you don't. Do you watch a lot of television?
Constantly, actually.
Okay. For how long have you been watching television?
I don't know, since I was two, probably.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You've probably
seen me in a commercial or something at some point, and you're not registering that.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's questions@whatswrongwithmycat.org. And we're talking to Todd.
Correct.
Right, okay,
yes.
Good. Yeah, and he's an actor, a working actor, supposedly. And his mother's a CPA, so maybe we can try and get her on the line maybe at some point today if Todd's not giving you any advice. But something we always ask all of our
honestly, it's going to be hard to get my mother on the phone right now because it is the height of tax season. She's fairly busy.
So what's the best financial advice your mother ever gave you? How's that? We can start there.
Well, you know, it was pretty simple. She said, don't spend more money than you have. And that way you won't get into a massive amount of debt.
That's
don't overspend. You know, live within your means is what she said. If you have champagne tastes on a beer budget, you know, and you go and you spend a lot of money on champagne instead of just, you know, slumming with the beer drinkers, then, you know, you're going to get yourself into trouble if you can't really afford that champagne.
Right. So good advice from Todd's mom. Don't spend more money than you have.
You know, you sound like dismissive about that advice, but that is classic advice, perhaps, and it's advice. But we live in a country where a lot of people do not follow that simple rule of cash flow. You know, There's a lot of debt in this country and bankruptcy.
I'll give you that. But I mean, you know, this is radio. It's supposed to be. I mean, you can get that advice from a fortune cookie.
Well, you asked me. I mean, I that's the best advice she ever gave me. So we really didn't talk about money very much.
Yeah. So, any. Okay, so stock tips? Any
stock tips? I can't give you stock tips because I don't understand the market at all.
So what do you have your money in?
I don't have any money. I sort of live paycheck to paycheck. I have a couple of, like, mutual funds and stuff like that. Mm. And I have a house.
Yeah.
But that's not a very good investment.
Depends on where it is, I suppose.
Well, I actually read an article recently from an actual financial expert who I can't remember the name, but maybe, you know, you should surf the net for this article. But he was basically saying that investing in real estate in this point is a very poor investment. It's a bad decision to make. Renting is smarter at this stage in our economy.
Yeah. Riveting.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, if you... That's actual sound financial advice, and...
From a source you can't
you're
actually...
being dismissed. Well, I'm not a financial expert. I'm an actor. I thought I was going on a show about cats. I was going to talk... I have two cats. I was going to talk about my cats. And then they sent me down with you, and you don't know anything about finances. Maybe
no,
if you knew something about finances, you could guide this conversation in such a way that I could at least, you know, exemplify on some level either a good financial decision or a bad one, you know, if you had actual – but you just want me to talk about something I am not an expert
in. Let's just stop. I'm feeling a little threatened right now.
There's nothing to feel threatened. I'm not a violent person. I'm not a violent person. But you're very strangely passive-aggressive about my lack of knowledge when you clearly have...
Have you been talking to my ex-wife?
I have not. I don't... I've never met... I don't know your ex-wife.
Okay.
I don't know your ex-wife.
Okay, well, let's just go to a question, and we'll see what we can do for these people. This is a tax question from Mark in California. My dog was recently in several episodes of a TV show. Does he have to file a tax return? I don't know. I would say yes, but
no. The dog doesn't have to file a tax return. He has to file the tax return. I mean, the dog. It's not. But the dog's not a child actor. The dog is an animal, and the person who owns the animal is the one who makes the money, and therefore files the tax return. I would imagine that if you have a dog who's an entertainer and makes you money, that a lot, you could probably write off a lot of the stuff that money you spent. Probably can write off, you know, certain vet bills and and diet things and all that, because, you know, you're keeping the dog is your livelihood. So the money you spend on the dog is, you know, a business expense.
Yeah. But you don't think the dog has to? I mean, it's under the dog's name, right? I mean, the dog gets the paycheck.
No, I'm pretty sure that the dog doesn't get a paycheck.
But then how does the dog get paid?
The dog doesn't get paid. The dog's owner gets paid. The person who owns the dog gets paid. Not the dog.
Isn't that like pimping?
That's one way of looking at it. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Hmm.
I mean, if you have trained animals, and you're, you know, putting them in the movies and getting paid, I guess. I mean, pimping has kind of sexual connotations to it, but it, you know, it's, I guess it's a good analogy on some level.
Well, okay. Well, we'll table that one, because I think Todd and I are at odds on that answer. I think
that the dog is the one who gets paid.
I mean, otherwise that dog can be. I would say that dog could end up getting a nail for tax evasion, because that dog is the one that makes the money. He's the one who's doing the work. So why is it that?
But it's an animal. I think you're getting. But soldiers aren't.
No. So is his owner.
Oh, I thought you were referencing that Act of Valor film out of nowhere, which stars a bunch of actual.
I wouldn't do
soldiers.
That. No,
instead of actors. I think maybe what the confusion is here for you is that if you have a child performer who's a human being, the child performer actually does get the paycheck. The parents are responsible for managing the money and all that, and they can take a chunk of it, I think, or something like that. But the kid gets paid, so then you have to file a tax return on behalf of the child. However, a dog or any kind of animal, livestock, is owned by a person. So if the person sells those animals or rents them out, or if they're trained, they perform.
Sure.
It's the person who owns the animal who gets the money, not the animal. The animal is not a citizen.
So Lassie, Gentle Ben, all of the Rin Tin Tin, all just were,
yes,
paid for through through a person.
That's correct. The person who owned those animals, who whatever people they were, they collected the checks, not the animals.
Oh, well, okay. I guess in that case, we actually do have the right person here. So, Todd, thank you for that question.
Well, you're welcome.
Which actually, we have another animal question. Oddly enough, from Michelle in Colorado. I didn't get any 1099s from any of my horses' stud fees. They're all in cash and all under $500. Do I have to report it?
What is the problem?
She didn't get any 1099 reporting.
Didn't get 1099s in the mail for what?
For her horse's stud fees.
Her horse's stud fees.
Yeah, which I guess she, it's all in cash and it's all under $500. Because it's $600 that you have to start reporting, right?
I guess. Okay. But if it's just under $500, I guess, I mean, I don't really know. But if it seems like if she got a lot of stud fees and it's over $500, then,
Right.
I don't really know. I mean, I got a 1099 myself this year for, I think it was $10.38 was the money I made, and I got a 1099 for that. So I don't know about that $500 rule. I don't know how accurate that is.
So,
but I'm pretty sure that if you're in business for yourself and you're charging people stud fees, that you're responsible for your own paperwork. Right? Nobody's going to send you a 1099. You have to.
I mean, nobody really wants to put that down on paper, though, do they?
What?
I'm paying you money for your. I mean, because that really is pimping. I mean,
you're making a solid argument about the pimping thing there. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. True. That's true. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would have a problem putting it on paper because it's pretty common practice, stud fees. And, you want, if you have a stallion who's majestic and is a good racehorse or whatever, then you can make a lot of money there. I don't think it's something people are ashamed of.
Really?
I'm pretty sure people get proud when they have a horse people. It's not my thing, but people who are in that.
But you seem to know quite a bit about it.
Well, I mean, there are racetracks everywhere, and there are horses, and they breed the horses, and, there's been lots of movies, Seabiscuit, that have, that explain those things. I mean, it's not an underground industry. It's not considered bad.
Okay. I guess I just never thought about it in that term. I mean, certainly I've Googled it, but I've never.
You've Googled what? Horses having sex, or ins and outs of. Pardon the expression of the. Industry.
Not so much the monetary industry part of it as the.
You were Googling horse sex videos? You like to watch horses have sex?
No. I think that that's overstating it. I mean, there's a curiosity that just exists within all of us. And
well, certainly there's plenty of shows on television about the mating habits of different species.
Do you have a list of those?
I do not have a list of those shows, but you could very easily do an internet search and find videos and specials on the on those things. I don't know if there's any specifically about horses, but I'm sure there's lots of videos on YouTube of horses doing it.
I'll have to look those up. So again, questions at whatswrongwithmycat.org. We've got Todd Anderson, who is an actor. And evidently knows a lot about, surprisingly, a lot about taxes and not so much about financials, but taxes.
I understand taxes. And taxes make sense, actually. I mean, they make it complicated to pay taxes, which is strange. That's always struck me as strange. But I understand how it all works. But I don't understand the markets. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's like craps. I went to Vegas once with some friends, and they were big craps players, and I stood at the table, and they explained everything to me, and when they were done explaining it, I still didn't understand it. I'm simply not smart enough for that. I can't play craps, and I can't play the markets. Doesn't make sense to me.
So stay out of the markets, according to Todd?
No, don't stay out of the market. I mean, so if you understand the markets, go into the markets. Well, it kind of is. Playing the markets is gambling. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's. I tend to agree with you. I've lost everything twice, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't much. It was, yeah, a couple $100. But
So you play the markets with just like a $20-$30 thing, and you got it up to 100, and then you lost.
Well, you know, they send there's faxes that come in all the time. That, you know, like, hey, is this stock and it's, you know, 98 cents and it's gonna go up to $1.30 and hey, you know, you're at that point it's a 30% investment, you know, you're getting 30%, you know, off your money. And they don't tend to do as well as they promoted, usually.
That's yes.
Someone said that it's a scam, and I just don't understand how that would work.
Yeah, that sounds like a scam. But
well, yeah. I gotta I'll look into that.
But also, whether it's a scam or not, I mean, it's like if you're investing $100 and you're gonna get 30% if it actually works out back on that investment, you've made $30. So you really, it's.
I mean, that's. I mean, I could buy 3 CDs for that. I mean, that's pretty found money. I mean, it's like going to Vegas and winning.
You still buy CDs, huh?
Yeah, what do you do?
I just download stuff off the internet, you know, iTunes. I still pay for it.
Oh.
I'm not a pirate, but I find it very convenient to download MP3s and rip them onto CDs and put them on my iPod and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I haven't gotten into that whole thing.
You don't have an iPod or?
No. No, I mean, do they work okay?
Yeah, they do. I mean, like any piece of technology, there are
glitches. How do you put the discs in?
There are no discs.
Really?
Yeah, there's no discs. It's just music in a tiny metal plastic box. That's it. It's magic. It's just magic.
It seems like there's probably something more to it, but I...
Nope.
No?
No. It's just magic.
Huh. Well. let's get to another question, I think.
Hey, you're the host.
Well, a substitute host.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Jennifer, Minnesota. My cat swallowed 8 feet of ribbon. When she started to pass it, I pulled out about 3 feet. The phone rang and I came back and she swallowed the original end. What should I do now? This is
so clearly you've run into the very problem that I said you would run into. I predicted this.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate your pointing that out, but that doesn't do me any good, or it doesn't do Jennifer. I realize that it's not a tax question.
I think if she's pulling that much ribbon out of her cat, she should take it to a veterinarian. That's my suggestion, and I'm not an expert, that would be the choice I would make if my cat was pooping that much ribbon.
Well, it sounds like she's got a handle now.
She's
a cat.
Handle?
Well, I mean, if it's kind of looped.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like a shoulder bag.
She could accessorize with carrying the cat. But I don't think that's the best choice for the cat.
Well, okay. Well,
I think you ultimately want, if you're a responsible pet owner, you want to make the best choices for the animals.
And obviously this comes as good advice from someone who owns, you said two cats?
I have two cats, yes.
And their names?
The older one, the old fat cranky one is Little K is her name. And then the young one, he's a boy, he's 7 months at this point. His name is Burrows.
And Little K, was there ever a Big K?
No, Little K got her name because I was actually out of town on business, and my wife found her when she was a kitten and brought her home. We already had another cat, and she called me and said that she brought home a cat, I said okay, and she's like, "I hope you're not mad." She named the last cat, so she said, "I'm going to wait until you get home so you can name the new cat." And she just started calling it Little Kitten, and then Little K for short. And by the time I got home, it was just the cat's name.
Right.
That is good. That's the story. You asked.
Yeah.
It's not very exciting.
No. No, is there anything else exciting in your life? I mean, other than your cats and your acting, I mean, do you do other things? I mean,
Other than acting and hanging out with cats,
yeah,
I do lots of stuff. Yeah.
Would you tell us something else that you do?
Lot of times, you know, I take days off a lot. Hang around.
Right.
Wander around the neighborhood. Listen to my iPod, the Magic Box of music.
Right. Right.
Sometimes I drive around. I like to drive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of free time.
I do have an immense amount of free time.
And you drive around.
I fill it up mostly with driving around, which is, I guess that's a bit of a busman's holiday for me, because I drive around. When I'm busy, I have to drive around to auditions a lot. But when I'm not busy, I drive. I just drive aimlessly. Sometimes I'll stop at a store, get a candy bar or something.
Mm. Yeah, sure. You gotta break up all that driving somehow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes I'll go to a park, you know, walk around. I like nature walks.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a very fulfilling life.
I have a very fulfilling life. Driving and walking.
So, should we go back to another question?
Hey, sure. Let's give me.
Okay. Ted in Florida writes, "If you hypothetically killed a hooker with a shovel and you wrote a book about it and made money, can you write off the shovel that was used in the hypothetical slaying?"
I think this is a question that you should alert the authorities about, that because that seems suspicious.
Well, it's a hypothetical question. It's not. He doesn't say I killed a hooker with a shovel, and I wrote a book about it and I made money. I think it's a. I mean, he says hypothetically in there, so I mean, I can only.
I know. Yeah, it seems like he's saying hypothetically to cover up the truth, because that's a very strange and specific hypothetical. I mean, you kill a hooker with a shovel, and then you write a book about it, makes a ton of money, and he's asking if he can write off the shovel. I mean, the thing I would say that the first, your responsibility as a host and a radio or podcast personality, whatever this is, you should alert the authorities to that. It's a ludicrous question. If you've killed someone, you do not get to write off the tool that you killed that person with, even if you wrote a book about it and it was well received.
Right, but I think the point is well made, though. I mean, it seems like the shovel, even, okay, granted, we're talking about a hypothetical murder, which I'm not still convinced has ever happened. You know, there are a lot of kooks out on there and the internet. But if you're, I mean, I'm just thinking, it's part of your work tool, right? I mean,
well, his work is actually a writer. He's a writer. The murder itself was not, that's not his profession. He's not a professional murderer. So I don't know if he can write off the shovel.
Right, but you drive around a lot, right?
Sure.
Can you write off those miles?
I can.
But yeah. You're not a professional driver.
That's true, but that's a different part of you know, tax write-offs, the auto, the commuting, all that stuff is a separate thing from professional business tools, I think.
So if it was not a shovel, maybe with crowbar? Is that?
I don't think...
Well, okay, let's say he killed him with his computer, if he's writing on a computer. Does that...
Yeah, well, if you buy a computer and you use it for work, you can write off the computer, yes. But you can't write off a murder weapon. I mean, the computer would be a write-off for his writing, you know, and the fact that he killed a hooker with the computer...
Hypothetically,
is irrelevant. That's not why he would be able to write off the computer. I don't think you can write off a murder weapon as research for a book about killing hookers or whatever the book is about.
Well,
I don't want to give killers good ideas, but you know, honestly, I think that if you wrote a book about killing a hooker with a shovel, and it's considered to be fiction, you don't want to start writing off murder weapons, because then that's going to alert the authorities to the fact that your book about killing hookers is non-fiction as opposed to fiction. It just doesn't seem very bright.
So, Ted, I think you should consult your CPA as well as an attorney, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, of course, you're going to alert the authorities.
Of course. Of course.
You have to. It's your responsibility, even though it says hypothetically. It's a very a disturbing email, and so it doesn't weigh on your conscience. You should, you know.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. No. That's good advice on all fronts, I think. Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I will. That's. Have you ever done any writing?
I write all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
What do you write?
Well, everything, essays, books, fiction.
Really?
Yeah.
And. Do you what
screenplays?
Oh,
yeah.
Do they all come from your life, or do they come from what do you write them about? I mean, is it what genres do you write in?
Well, I've written a horror novel, and I'm working on a second one right now. So I enjoy writing horror stories.
Oh,
but I wrote a book about acting.
Oh, yeah. Was it a how-to manual, or is it a...
No, it's a practical guide to the realities of making a living as an actor.
Hmm. And how do you get into that thing? I mean...
How do you get into what?
Into acting. I mean, it seems... You know, you just pretend a lot? Is that...
Are you talking about how do you act, or how do you get into the business and make money at it? What are you asking?
I guess.
I mean, you
both.
Can't, all right.
Let's say I wanted to act because I mean, I'm a decent looking guy. I mean,
sure, yeah.
And I suppose I could. I mean, well, it can't be that hard, right?
Acting?
Yeah.
No, acting's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand why more people don't do it, because acting, the craft of acting itself, first of all, to call it a craft is ridiculous. They've attached all these names onto it to make it seem difficult, to trick people into thinking that what they're doing is hard. You know, what De Niro does or used to do, you know, before he got cranky, and Olivier, you know, Peter O'Toole, they give it an air of pretension to make you think that what those people are doing actually requires talents and training. But acting is really easy. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And once you do it, the other thing about acting is once you do it, it's so easy to get jobs.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well,
all you have to do is ask, and they'll give you jobs.
Really? Are there people I need to ask for this? Because, I mean, I work midnight to four, and I'd rather not work midnight to four. I mean, do you work midnight to four?
Sometimes. It depends on the job.
Oh.
Sometimes you have night shoots, and then you'll work from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., but other times you don't. Some days I only work a few hours. I mean, like I said, I don't work a lot, but that's my choice. I mean, you can work whenever you want. I just choose not to.
Oh.
Yeah, if you really want to act, just go, you know, either you can go over to Universal or Paramount. You can go to any of the TV lots. You can go to CBS. Just go up to the security guard and say, you know, I'm an actor.
Oh. They just.
And they'll send you in.
Fantastic.
And then you just, like, you pick a soundstage, you walk on the soundstage, whatever show they're shooting, you just say, hey, I'm an actor. And they'll write you up a part and put you in the show.
Couldn't be easier.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Wow. I didn't, I actually thought it was probably a little harder than that. But.
Well, that's what they want you to believe. It's a vast conspiracy. They want people to be think. Because, you know, human beings are naturally insecure, so they're playing on that insecurity and making you think, oh, it's really hard to act. It's so hard to get in front of an audience. And what if you're bad? You know, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, there's no such thing as bad acting. There's no such thing as bad acting. Because there are no scientific gauges to measure good or bad acting. If you're playing basketball, there's a scoreboard, you know? So the better basketball player is the one with the most points at the end. Simple. Simple mathematic proof of goodness.
And music has American Idol, which can you vote in and then you know who's good.
Simon Cowell. Music has science.
Yeah.
Simon Cowell is a scientist. And he understands the mathematics and the schematics of music creation. Acting, there's no such gauge. Anyone, they say this performance is bad and you know, to make you think, oh, you know, I could screw, but you can't. You cannot fail at acting. You cannot fail at acting.
That's I didn't know that. I did not know that. I was
easiest profession in the world.
Hmm. Well, I've always wanted to do it.
You should go.
Maybe we should go down together. We could become like a crime fighter, like Simon and Simon, or
I'm not working today. But you should go. I don't want to be a series regular. That's a lot of work. I prefer to work. I mean, it's like six or seven days out of the year.
What, an hour a week?
The Simon and Simon.
Yeah, I mean it's like an hour per week per episode.
The episode is an hour, but it takes a couple weeks to shoot a single episode. Yeah.
Why?
Well, they have to get they have to go to different locations, and they have a crew, and they have lights and stuff.
Well, but I mean,
it's very, very difficult to make TV shows and movies. It's not difficult to act in them, but everything else that goes into it is very complicated.
That's really a couple of weeks for one episode.
Uh-huh.
Seems like an awful lot of time.
It is an awful lot of time. It's a very slow process. That's why I don't really like to work very much, because most acting is just you sit around waiting for these people who are doing stuff that you don't understand to finish doing it. They have guys who like put up lights and stuff. They have people I don't even know. Like, there's like names for these people. I don't understand what any of them do. They call them like gaffers. They have gaffers and grips. PAs or something. I don't know what the hell they're for. I don't know what any of those people do. But basically, when you're an actor, it's so easy. You just sit around, and they have a snack. They have a snack table.
They have a snack table?
This is always there. They have to have it.
What's on there?
All kinds of snacks. They have, sometimes they'll have, like, veggies and dip, you know? And then they have nuts.
Wow.
And cookies, combos.
What? And you just...
ice cream?
You just walk up there?
Twizzlers. And... you just walk up and get it.
And
that's what an actor does. You snack. You snack all the time.
Really?
Yeah. You just eat snacks. And then
the people are doing God knows what.
The people who are doing I don't know what they do, but then when they're done doing it, all you have to do is go and stand on they put a piece of tape on the floor or something, and you just stand on that, and then you talk, and then a few minutes later, you're back having snacks. Easiest job in the world.
Wow. Well, I've wasted my life so far, evidently.
Yeah.
So
they don't just have a grip, they have like a grip and then a key grip. I don't know what's going on. And then they have a director and then an assistant director, like a first. They have a first and a second. It's like the military. I don't know what's going on. Well, it's crazy.
So they've got sounds like assistants. So do I get an assistant?
You can get one, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, like...
yeah, if you choose to be a celebrity actor, you can get an assistant. Celebrity actor, though, I don't know. That's a tough thing, because then you have to deal with celebrity. And the acting is always going to be easy, but the celebrity, woo, that's tough.
Right.
Because people take pictures of you all the time, and then people want stuff from you because you have a lot of money. And everybody has weird fantasies about you. And right. Then when they meet you, they get all weird. And, I wouldn't, you know, it's a lot. You get a lot paid a lot more. But I would keep it low key. Work right. Like 8 days a year.
Oh. Yeah. Really, only eight?
I try to keep it to eight.
And you have a house.
Yeah.
Wow.
I told you.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because taxes are boring.
Taxes are boring. I've been doing my taxes. I use TurboTax.
Oh.
I hate that program. Because TurboTax, it's like as an actor, you know, I get a lot of W-2s.
Right.
You know, because you start acting, they just send you money. Oh. And you don't even know why. They just send it to you. And but then, you know, it's all taxed, you know. So you get the W-2s. So I'll have like 18 W-2s. I have to fill it all out, you know, and then there's a little ticker at the top of the TurboTax page that says, you know, what you're currently going to get back or what you owe. And it always, like, it'll get up to, like, you're going to get $5,000 back from the federal government. And then the very next W-2, it just reverts. And then suddenly you owe $4,000. It's like, how's this going to turn out? How's it gonna turn out?
It's like a movie.
It's so awful though, because it's real.
So it's like a French movie,
and it's like you know, and they make a point out of saying, you know, like this is not, you know, this is a work in progress. But why do they have that thing on there? A little ticker to tease you and make you happy for a minute, and then make you horrified for a minute, and then make you go sometimes. Because it's like, right now your refund is $50, or you owe the government $100. And then you're like, that's no big deal. It's the worst. It's the worst program in the world. It's terrifying.
Are there
terrifying. It actually makes doing taxes super easy. So it's not a bad part. But that L, that feature, it's awful. It's really awful.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you can put a piece of tape over it or something.
Yeah, I don't want to put a piece of tape on my computer screen. It'll leave a mark. This is a... I have a touchscreen computer, too, so that could screw... that might screw that up.
Yeah, that wouldn't work so well, I don't think.
You know what? I don't want to change the subject, but thinking of touchscreen computers, and because this is normally a slot reserved for a show about cats...
Right.
If you have cats, don't get a touchscreen. Don't do it.
No?
No, because when you're doing your work, the cat jumps up, walks past the computer... rubs the tail across the computer and destroys everything you've done.
I take it this has happened.
Yes, it has happened on several occasions.
Well, I wouldn't have imagined that. Can't you just keep a cat off the...
Well, sometimes you get engrossed in your work and you're not paying attention, and then suddenly the cat is there. It's like a horror movie.
And your work being going to the park and...
Well, so when I'm at home, when I'm in between driving around, you know, I'll be on my computer working.
Right.
Which, you know, surfing the net for pornography.
Right, okay. Understood, yeah. I mean, that's largely what I'm doing while I'm spinning records anyway, you know.
No, you made it pretty clear that what you're surfing the net for is videos of horses.
No, that's not, that's a curiosity thing. It's not a sexual thing. For the most part, it's
there are horses doing it. That's a sexual thing. Your curiosity,
has but it's healthy. I mean, it's a healthy curiosity.
Well, I don't know about that. If you're exclusively searching the internet for videos of horses, like if you're curious, like in
horses.
A scientific way
horses.
About the biology of different species, that's interesting. That I get that. But if what you're doing is simply looking for videos of horses humping all the time, that raises
See,
a few red
but
flags.
But you're characterizing this. You're making this sound more creepy than it is.
I am not. I think it sounds as creepy as it is. I think it's exactly as creepy as it sounds. I don't think I'm adding any kind of spin.
You don't think you brought your own agenda on this? Because I think that now I think that you did.
I did not bring an agenda. I came to do a show about cats. And I wound up with you talking about... what are we talking about? I don't even know.
Tax advice.
Tax advice. And horses.
Yeah.
Killing hookers.
Hypothetically.
But there's nothing hypothetical about you and your curiosity about horses humping. There's nothing. That's not
you
hypothetical.
Know, that's unfair. And it's
How is it unfair? It's what you said.
Yeah, but you're taking it out of context now.
I'm not taking it out of context. It is exactly in context.
But now you're just pointing the finger. I mean, can we? All people are different. Everyone has. Natural, I'm done. So you've never watched your cats do it?
No, my cat. Okay, my cats are fixed. They have been fixed, so they don't do it. They have no desire to do it, which is the correct and responsible decision for any cat owner or dog owner. Get them fixed, especially cats, man. Their lives are so much nicer when they don't have that going on. Cats in the heat. Ugh. You got a boy, he sprays all over the house. Cat spray smells really bad. And then if you got a girl, she's in pain and she rides around and howls. Get him fixed.
Well, on that note, I think that probably concludes our show for the day. Todd Robert Anderson, thank you so much.
Thanks for
his advice.
Me.
Don't spend more money than you make, and get your cats fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, and hopefully next week we'll be back with What's Wrong With My Cat, and we'll answer all of your cat questions and what's wrong with them.